Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, happy Saturday. Today is June the 19th, 2021. And today, well, let me back up a little bit. June 19th, 2021, the time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast. And happy Juneteenth, everybody. Now a federal holiday, but not everywhere. But happy Juneteenth. And tomorrow is Father's Day, so it's a weekend celebration here in the ATL. Unfortunately, it's raining, but it didn't stop, you know, what was going on, the celebrations that are going on, at least in the city that I'm in. They had a Juneteenth celebration up on the Marietta Square. I wasn't able to attend, but the president of the NAACP, who was a guest on our show, Ms. Doreen Bonner, she's there, of course, and she's been sending some video on Facebook of the events, and there's a lot of people there. They got their umbrellas, and they're having a good time. So, again, happy Juneteenth, and we're going to talk about that, and also we're going to talk about Father's Day, and don't forget, in the second hour, back by popular demand, our guest is Mr. St. James, who's returning to the show. We really enjoyed his him being with us a while back, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, thank you for joining us on this Saturday. And before I get started into the topics, well, let me just jump into it. So, Juneteenth. A lot of people ask, what is it? What's it all about? As I wait for my co-host to jump in. So, I'm pulling it up on the internet. And officially Juneteenth, the significance of it is the emancipation of enslaved African Americans observed African-American history, culture, and progress. Also, it was called Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, Liberation Day, and, of course, Emancipation Day. Now, I was curious. I saw where it said only 47 states are recognizing it, and there are states that are not. Is Juneteenth a holiday in all 50 states? Okay, let's pull that up. And, of course, we know the answer is no. Currently, 47 of the 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia have recognized Juneteenth as either a state holiday or ceremonial holiday, a day of observance. And let me see. I'm trying to find the states that are not celebrating. I'm sorry for the long pause. I'm scrolling through here, and I'm not getting the answer that I'm looking for. Let me go over to the Wikipedia site through here and see if I can find it in the meantime. Okay, I see everybody waving their hand. Let me go ahead and open up some microphones here. Let me get law enforcement here first, though. I want to make sure security's in the house. So let me just go ahead and open up the mic, too. Officer Crenshaw, what's up, my brother? Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth, man. It's about time. How are you?
Yeah. It's definitely about time. You know how long it took to get Martin Luther King a holiday. So, you know.
Right.
And in all honesty, Juneteenth should have been a holiday before King holiday. I mean, to be honest. You know, but I'm glad that it's here. It's finally being recognized in some states.
I'm wondering what they're going to teach in school now since they passed the law as far as history, certain types of history being taught in school. What are they going to teach in school now as far as Juneteenth since it's a federal holiday?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're fighting that tooth and nail. They're definitely fighting that as far as teaching black or just teaching history, the true story of what really went on, what's been going on. They're fighting that,
well, see,
you know, and it's crazy.
That's my point. When you get kids of any race that doesn't know the history of Juneteenth and they start asking about it, how are they going to be able to teach that after they just passed this law? Because
it's going
to make some feel superior and some feel inferior, and that's supposed to be the basis of the law.
Right, and you know, it's crazy that I just watched a clip on the internet where a guy was going to give the winner a free pair of the earbuds.
Right.
All they had to do was answer one question, and these weren't little kids, and it was really crazy. The simplest question, I think one or two out of maybe eight people that he asked got it right. And the question was simple. He asked, what was the name of the war, the United States war, between the North and the South? What was it called? One person said the Korean War. He said, let me try that again. What U.S. war was between the North and the South in the United States? What was it? She goes, I still think it's the Korean War.
Okay.
And everybody had all these different answers. The Korean War, another one said, the other one he said? World War One.
All right.
Now, people don't know that. Okay. Just imagine if you ask most folks, what is Juneteenth about? You know, a lot aren't going to know that either. So it was really crazy. Let me go ahead and open up more mics. I see other co-hosts are standing by. Let me get the ladies on first. Open up the mic to, I believe that this is Cotton Campbell.
Yes, it is Cotton Campbell. Hello, everybody.
Hey, happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth, yes. Can I tell a Juneteenth story, or is that allowed?
Yeah, go right ahead, and then I'm going to open up our other co-host's mic.
Oh, I mean, it don't have, like, no deep meaning to it or anything, but when I was a kid, we celebrated Juneteenth. Was, like, the best thing to celebrate as a teenager and as a kid, because everybody would gather to this one place, and if you're from Kansas City, you know what it is, Big 11 Lake, and we would have performers come out and the whole nine, and for a while, that stopped. Like, I don't know if they still do it now, but for a while, they had stopped celebrating Juneteenth in my area, in my city, you know. It just wasn't the same, and I'm not sure why. So I don't know if that happened to any other cities, but it's a big deal. Juneteenth is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some people that are mad as hell as this weekend continues to roll on because, of course, as you well know, the statue in New York, the George Floyd statue was unveiled today. It's Juneteenth, tomorrow's Father's Day. I mean, this is a big weekend. That's really I know there are folks out there that are really pissed off. Let me open up the mic to Mr. Time and Ship. What's up, my brother Time, and what's happening in L.A.?
Hey, what's going on, Mike and Cotton and Officer Crenshaw? How you guys doing? Happy Juneteenth, Mike. I will tell you that you're going to turn into. We're all going to be professors because the average American does not know their history, and they definitely don't. They don't even recognize African American history, which is American history. They don't recognize it. They don't know. I've talked to white people who don't know what Jim Crow is. They don't know what blockbusting is. They don't know what redlining is. And they damn sure don't know what Juneteenth is. And that's because it does not. Now, you will find one white boy. You're usually going to find one that does know. You may find one white girl that does know. But now, Armenians, Mexicans, if it does not affect them, they do not know. They don't know their history. So you're going to get that. You're going to be explaining what the hell this is for who knows how long. And yet they're pissed. You're right, they're pissed. Because what happens, it is going to expose. And they wouldn't be in this trouble if they had just told the truth from the very beginning. But the Daughters of the Confederate, who put up all those Confederate statues, they also controlled your history books. And they are the ones that made sure that you did not know a lot of things about what went on among slaves and all the different lynchings. And they didn't want you to know that. It just wasn't fair. So.
But they'll teach you what Celtic is in a heartbeat.
They'll what?
They'll teach you what now?
They'll teach you what cow tipping is in a heartbeat.
I mean, just think, the Bill Pickett rodeo was on the day. This is the first time that the Bill Pickett Black Rodeo was on national TV. Okay, the original cowboy was black. He's not white. The Lone Ranger was taken from a brother who was a bounty hunter. That's where the Lone Ranger came from. So these are stories, and I had a friend of mine who was he's Jewish. His grandson wrote a essay on cowboys and put it in there that the original cowboy was not some white dude that you see on that's not John Wayne. It was a brother. And cowgirls, too. Black folks are connected to this land. We at the hip. So, I mean, you're going to have a lot that is not going to, one, they're not going to appreciate. There may be some that might appreciate it, but there's going to be a lot of denial, and there's going to be a lot of don't want to discuss this stuff because it makes them look bad. But it's like Europe embraces their history. Why can't you embrace yours? Every bit of it, the good and the bad, take it on. You could have avoided all these problems if you just told the truth, but you didn't want to tell the truth. You wanted to make everybody think you were perfect. And now That's why other countries like Russia and China said, you know what, how y'all going to come over and talk about us? And yet, look what y'all are doing over there where y'all at.
Yep.
You know?
Interesting point. And, you know, and I think if you guys remember, a few months ago, I played this clip of what Rick Santorum said about the Native American. And I want to play it again because and then just think about what they're telling us and what Rick Santorum said about the Native American. It's about 3 minutes, so bear with me.
There isn't much Native American culture in American culture. We came here and created a blank slate. We birthed a nation from nothing. I mean, there was nothing here. I mean, yes, we have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture. It was born of the people who came here pursuing religious liberty to practice their faith, to live as they ought to live. I don't know of any other country in the world that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith. They came here because they were not allowed to practice their particular faith in their own country. And so they came here mostly from Europe, and they set up a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles. When I say Judeo-Christian, the Mosaic laws, Ten Commandments, and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the morals and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what our founding documents are based upon. It's in our DNA. You know, if you think of other countries like Italy and Greece and China and Turkey and places like that, they've all sort of changed over time. I mean, they've been there for millennia in many cases. And their culture has sort of evolved over time. But not us. Religious liberty. Those are the two bulwarks of America, faith and freedom. I mean, you hear it all the time now, faith and freedom, faith and freedom. But it is what makes America unique in the world.
Who are the people that run the world? It's not some shadowy secret society. It's the very people you'd think. Politicians.
All right, so now I'm going to cut it right there. Now, that was Rick Santorum, which, by the way, with that being said, or with what he said, got his ass fired off of CNN as a pundit. But you see what he just said, and where he just don't even acknowledge the Native Americans. They didn't have a culture. And now here's this argument about teaching African American culture in school. So right there, he's perpetrating a lie. Am I right? Hello?
Right.
You guys, is anybody there?
Mike, as soon as he said that, I knew. I said, they're about to fricassee his ass. They're about to light him up. Okay, you got all this. I mean, it's just an idiot. For him to open his mouth like that, dude, you are a just arrogant and ignorant. Okay, what American culture is, it is multicultural. That's what American culture is. There is no, you know, I mean, what do you do? Do you think the immigrants just popped up here and, oh, we came over here practicing Puritan? You came over here and you took. Biggest hypocrisy in the world. You start enslaving people. You already had slaves here. Shoot. White and black didn't even exist. There was no such thing as white and black until at least the 1661, as a matter of fact. There was no such thing. You were either enslaved, indigenous, you know, but you were not. There was nothing. They were trying to find their way. And if it wasn't for the Indian, the Puritans wouldn't even survive because they showed them how to survive on the land. Who else showed them how to take compound and make compost and you know, take dead fish and grow plants in sand on a beach? Indians told them how to do that. White folks was eating their own. They would dig up dead bodies and eat their own. They would eat their wives because they were dying of starvation. So he's an idiot. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what they're not going to tell you. That's what, if you want to know anything about American history, you got to go dig for it. You ain't going to find it. They're not going to tell you. Mm-mm.
Yeah, you're right about the, you know, as Tim Wise has told a story. I had played that some time ago. Where, right, there was no such thing as black and white. You were either, you were European, you were Asian, you were African, whatever region you came from, that's how you were looked at. And then they started the coloring, you know, black and white and
right. Well,
all that type.
And all, and Mike, the only reason why they start coloring is because after Bacon's Rebellion, Bacon was an indigenous servant, and they were already intermarried. You already had white women and black men and white men and black women. They were already mating at that time. But what happened once they decided to come together as one to attack the establishment, they had to shut that down. So what they did, they killed him after breaking up the rebellion. They said that they caught anybody trying to get with slaves or come together with, you would also be enslaved. Then they turned around and made the white dude the overseer over Africans as slaves, as well as they were creating, they thought it was better that they give them something to keep them on tracks and basically say, you're part of us, but not really part of us. You're poor, but you only thing, you're white, and we're going to get you to watch out for the slaves for us. Now, that's all that was. That they and they were ignorant enough to buy it, you know. And the Irish bought into it. The Ku Klux Klan came from Scotland. Those are a lot of Scottish people. Those people weren't even, you know, you call the Virginians, the high toppers or whatever, the people that set up in the hills, you know how they say that? They just came from where their country was. The reason why, because that's how you found out about enemies, was to live up in the hills, in the mountaintops. Yeah. I mean, they don't want you to know. That's like not even knowing about York. You know, Lewis and Clark. I know you know about York. I mean, Lewis and Clark, you know, mm-hmm. were going on their expeditions. It was York that kept their ass from dying. York saved them. That brother was the main guy. And when it was all over, York said, hey, man, can you hook me up and send me where my wife is over in Sunset? They said, oh, no, we can't do that, York. Well, how about send me down here where I'm sitting? No, we can't do that either. So what are you going to do? We'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to sell your butt back into slavery. And that's what they did. Even after all that man did for them, they still sold him back into slavery. So, you know, if I know why they don't want to talk about this stuff, because it does not work in their favor. They were vicious. I'm telling you, man, they did black folks dirty. Don't read the book Cast. Don't read Stamp from the Beginning. Do not read, Whiteness of Wealth. Just go down the line, man. There's so much history and how badly they treated black people and what white folks did to them and what they did to the Asians and everybody. You do not want to read it. It is not a pretty sight. And I know why they don't want you to know. Because it does not, it's when Biden said it's the original sin. They were cold. Mm. From the lynchings to the burnings to the rapes, everything. And they can, he's talking about, you know, Santorum talking about the land of, talking about freedom. But, you know, freedom, you already free. What freedom? You took everybody else's freedom. Took the Indians' freedom. Took the black man's freedom. The Mexican's freedom. The Asian's freedom. You took everything. Yeah, so no, they're not, they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have a conversation. Because it's not a pretty sight. It really isn't. It should be talked about like we're doing right now. There should be white people on your thing having this discussion if they want to know the truth, you know.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that. No pun intended, but I got to open up the chat room. That's what I forgot, because we do have some folks that do join us in the chat room, so I'm going to go ahead and open that up. But like Officer Crenshaw was saying, what's your thoughts, since it's now a holiday, how do they go about teaching it now in schools? Although they're pushing back on teaching, you know, the truth about history, especially black history now. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, is it just, you know, since it just been signed into law, on the 17th, 2 days ago, and right. and everybody's happy about it, what's next with our school systems
I don't think, I wouldn't worry about a theory. You know, sometimes it's in the messaging that scares the hell out of people. My thing is, I would just open up the floodgates on black history. I would just go down the line. Like, if you looked up, prime example, if you look up Central America and the United States and you Google that, it gives a rundown from 1855 to the present. So if you're going to do history on, it would be a smorgasbord of everything from the lynchings to, you know, it would show the good and the bad. Because it's American history. You can't, there's no way you can get to Abraham Lincoln without going into slavery and Reconstruction and coming on down to the Black Codes and 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment. You got to put all that in there. But you also got to put in what was the nature of what was going on in the United States at those particular times. You got to put in the lynchings. You got to put in Black Wall Street, and you got to put in the accomplishments, the inventions. There's so much, you know. So you got to put that in and brings it on round, because even after you hook up Juneteenth and you find out why Juneteenth was, okay, what happened? You told me I'm free, but then I ran into another buzzsaw. And black folks was playing, you know, they was bobbing and weaving, man, going through history. Every time they had to keep making these adjustments, you know. They had to keep, because why? Because people were kept creating racial ideas. They kept creating, you know, black folks were trying to assimilate in a way to where they could have their own. That's why they told Lincoln, no, we ain't going to Liberia, homeboy. We built this. We ain't going nowhere. I don't know Africa. Why am I going back to Africa? I'm going to stay right here. You know?
And that's one of the reasons why they look at us as blacks as being angry. Because we don't know all of the history, because they won't tell us all of the history. If you tell us all of the history, then we have a choice.
I have some black friends who will not discuss any type of racial history, race, anything. They don't discuss religion, politics, and they will not discuss race. All they want to do is be black. They don't want to hear, they don't want to know about it. It has no concern to them. And these are highly educated people. You know, they're like, they're not like the Candace Owens of the world, because I know y'all have heard what her ignorant ass said on that, you know, that the Democrats are pulling something by bringing up, I mean, the girl went against Juneteenth being a holiday, you know. It's like, come on, really? But so, yeah, there's a lot out there. They won't discuss that stuff, Mike. They won't have a discussion like we have. They don't want nothing to do with it.
That is true. You know, Go ahead, Chris Hall.
Knowing all of that can teach the people who don't know all of that, you know, what happened, so that history doesn't repeat itself and you go through all this all over again. If you got a lot of white people that were hanging blacks, and then the white people now are saying, well, I don't know why they're so upset, you know. Well, if you learn what blacks went through, right along with the black who only heard stories, it helps you understand more, so that maybe you can either sympathize, empathize, be passionate, show compassion, understand. We won't be so angry because we'll know more about what actually happened as well.
Right. Now, you know, Officer Crenshaw, if you look at, now we just had, what, Memorial Day not too long ago?
Right.
Okay. And you know all the brothers that fought in the war. But think about just going down the line at the time of World War I, World War II, Jim Crow was going on. And these brothers, black people, said, this is our country. We want to show that we're worthy. And so black women and black men put on the American uniform, and some of the baddest soldiers, you know, were brothers that went over to France and everywhere, man. They talked about when they came home, they were lynching them in their uniforms. They were burning their homes. This is the stuff they don't want to know. My own distant cousin, Thomas Shipp, was lynched in Marion, Indiana, on his way home from work. I had to check a dude, a white cat, at my cigar lounge because he brought up something. He saw the picture, made some derogatory comment, and I checked his ass. I said, you need to understand, they were not lynching your ass. I said, y'all are very, you need to be very happy, black folks. There were no more Nat Turners coming around. And, hey, and as we always say, what did J. Edgar Hoover say? Who is the most dangerous group of people? You do not want them to have unity? Black people. Can't have it. Because we cannot have any black messiahs. You can't have this thing that they won't pick. You can't have it.
I don't celebrate Memorial Day. I memorize Memorial Day. Because... Right. Fellow soldiers that I lost, it's not for me to celebrate them being gone. It's for me to remember them being gone.
Right.
So all this barbecuing and all of that other stuff that people do, it's just like when people find out I was a soldier. Thank you for your service. They find out I was a cop. Thank you for your service. No, thank me for my sacrifice, not my service.
Right.
Good point. Very good point. And not to go off topic, because we are going to talk about Father's Day also here in the first hour. Don't forget, second hour, our special guest, back by popular demand, Mr. St. James is going to join us at the top of the hour. And as I said, not to get completely off topic, but I think I mentioned this before about when we talk about Black Wall Street, there are other cities and towns that were not attacked in this way, but that were, you know, just taken from black people. And I'm just going to read this real quick. It says, most people have no idea that this sunken community in Georgia even exists. Lake Lanier in northeast Georgia is a favorite recreation spot for millions each year. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers estimates that some 7.5 million people visit Lake Sidney Lanier annually. And why not? Boating, fishing, camping, swimming? Yes. Please sign me up, right? So it goes on to say, but most people don't know the history behind this popular man-made lake, or more specifically, they don't know about the sunken livelihoods at the bottom of this monumental 39,000-acre reservoir, nor may they know about the scores of farms that were swallowed up by the rising waters, farms that had been in families for generations. Additionally, most people may not even wonder what's at the bottom of this body of water that's barely more than 150 feet deep. Gorgeous sunsets, warm sunny days, and life on the water can have that effect, right? Well, Lake Sidney Lanier was created in the 1950s as an answer to the area's water supply needs, including those of the growing metropolitan area of Atlanta. After much effort on the part of many people, the groundbreaking for the project, which included the new Buford Dam, took place in the spring of 1950. Soon after, the government began buying up all the land needed for the project. They purchased more than 50,000 acres, reportedly paying landowners $30 per acre. Some 700 families had to move to make way for the lake. Some moved. Now, notice it says some 700 families had to move to make way for the lake. Some moved their homes, but others just moved their belongings. It's been reported that the landowners were also paid for each building they were leaving behind. It's unclear whether this apple cider stand, which they're showing a picture in this article, by the way, was moved or abandoned when all was said and done. But other buildings were abandoned, some of them to be torn down, especially the wooden buildings. Any buildings and structures that would be tall enough to extend above a water depth of 35 feet at the high water level were removed. Several block buildings and structures that weren't tall enough to extend above a depth of 35 feet remain at the bottom of Lake Lanier, mostly in a decomposing state. The mortar holding the blocks together having crumbled long ago, but there are remnants of the farms that still protrude above the waterline. If you want to see some remnants of the farms that used to do this countryside, that used to dot this countryside that is now Lake Lanier, you only have to look at the horizon. The 160 islands that grace this beautiful lake are actually the hilltops of those farms. They're beautiful and lush and seem to carry on the legacy of livelihood for the families that were forced to move to make way for the progress. Now, here's the thing about Lake Lanier, and most people, I'm sure, Officer Crenshaw, most folks who live in Georgia may have been there, but I had found out there was different towns there. And Lake Lanier, every year, there's always a death at Lake Lanier, and people have said that when they fell into the water, it feels like something's pulling you down, honestly. Some folks say it really feels like something's pulling you down. I've read some articles where some folks said it's a dangerous lake to fall into, that's for sure. But you look at where this was a black community, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was called Oakville. And those were acres of land. You heard how many acres of land that this was. And they said, hey, well, you know what? Y'all going to have to go. We got to have this land.
Well, they also took, Mike, they took over 12 million acres of land from black people. Okay? They've taken land. I don't care, you know. I mean, think about it. How many people lost their land just in Black Wall Street? Those people didn't get that land back, and they did not get any reparations. But the slaves that when they set those slaves free, they gave reparations to all the slave owners. That was part of the deal. They gave them reparations. They put highways through neighborhoods, whether it was in Detroit, California, Illinois. They put those freeways through there to cut black folks off.
Mm-hmm.
It was purposely done. These things were systematically put in play to hold black folks back. And you can, like I said, there's a book right now called The Color of Law, and it'll give you a full rundown of how things were systematically set up, whether you read The Whiteness of Wealth or you read The Caste System. I mean, all this, I mean, it's called Caste. I mean, it's just down my or Stand From the Beginning. Those books alone. And if you read The Devil's Chessboard, which covers what the CIA and what Nixon and all those guys were doing to control certain things and what they were up to at those particular times from the 30s, 40s, 60s, you know, gives you a full rundown of what you know, if you just want to have an understanding about our history here and how who got affected. And if you're that white person that didn't come up when you should have, then that's on you because you had everything in your favor. Because the brothers didn't even get the GI Bill at the same time that the white folks got the GI Bill. Black soldiers did not get those benefits that they should have. And even if they did get them, they were not allowed to move into white suburbs. That was basically, segregation was set in play everywhere you went. They really don't know the pain of our people, man. They don't understand the pain of what black. And for somebody to tell me, oh, you just should let it go, ties. You know, oh, man, that burns me up when they say that. You have no idea they have no idea what our family members, and some of those people are still alive. That woman's 94 years old that got that thing put through on Juneteenth. She's 94. They burned her family's home to the ground and looted. And that's what they don't want to talk about. Like, well, when did this happen? When did it happen? Right here. They burned those people's town down. I mean, they burned that woman's house down. They didn't want black folks to have nothing. Period. Didn't want us to have a thing. So I don't know, man. I don't know what more you can say to them, you know. But a lot of folks just don't want to deal with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know.
Well,
and,
you know,
it's painful for a lot of people.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, it's very clear what the Senate wants to do. You know, it's funny. Like, well, as soon as Stacey Abrams went along with what's his name?
Joe Manchin?
Mm-hmm. Now they want to say it's her. It's her. It's her thing. Because she goes along with it. Now they're going to say, well, it's really her doing it then. You know, I mean, come on now. And it's just plain as day of what they're doing. It's really clear. Or as they say, clear as water, and you can see through that. Well, we got about 20 minutes before the top of the hour and before our guest joins us. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Now, you know Mother's Day. What happens? Mother's Day, you go to church, you take mama out, or the husband takes the wife out to dinner. What happens on Father's Day, fellas?
You get a
time
off.
Nothing.
Nothing
happens on Father's Day. Nothing. Gonna get a homemade pie, a homemade necklace.
A homemade pie.
No,
the only pie I ever got came from the grocery store.
No, I didn't say pie. I said tie.
Oh, tie. Pie, T-I-E. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I was stretching it when I said pie, huh?
A
homemade
pie.
Just took a cloth napkin and just made a tie out of it, right?
Right, exactly. Here you go, Daddy. I hope you love it.
you remember that joke that Eddie Murphy told, where you know you get all the gifts and all of a sudden you get kids and your kids run up and say, "Here, Daddy, this for you," and he say, "Oh, Brute by Fabergé." You shouldn't have. I didn't. It was on sale.
You know, when Bill Cosby did that show on all the gifts that the kids bought him, he had a light-up pie. He had a light-up butt belt, and he put a light-up sweater. He had all his light-up. And you think I like these gifts? That's horrible. We don't see Father's Day very well on Father's Day.
What was that?
Y'all don't get the same recognition as Mother. That's sad. I'm sorry. Let me apologize.
You don't need to apologize. You do it. I'm here in the background. Crenshaw, you were trying to respond. What's Father's Day like for you?
Man, you're going to get a pair of drawers and a tie, and that's about it. I mean, they're going to tell you they love you, but, you know, on the serious side, Father's Day is probably the really only holiday that I really, really, truly recognize, because that's the day that changed me. None of us likes change. That day changed. It made me turn out to be who I am, to where I don't mind sacrificing. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to be stingy. My kids get it all. That day made me a better person. I can't say man, because some fathers are still not men. But it made me a better person because I appreciated my kids more as each Father Day rolls around, no matter what they give me. I'm going to accept it with pride. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be happy. I'll complain later on in the night, but I'm just grateful they're there with me. You can get other partners, other spouses, other friends, but you can't get other children.
Amen. That's very true. That's very true. No, go ahead.
No, I said I had to tell him this year I don't need no more draws. Got draws I'm not even wearing anymore.
No more draws. I don't need any more Fruit of the Looms. Yeah, I could grow a tree now, huh?
Y'all hear that? Wow. There are people. Don't get your father's no more draws. No Fruit of the Looms. Nothing.
No party.
What do you get for your father? Like, what gifts? I don't even think anybody ever asked. You just assume that whatever you get the father, he'll like, you know.
You know what? What I found is like some folks now. When I work for like Home Depot and Lowe's, you know, if the father is a hands-on type guy and build and repair and stuff, they'll try to get them a tool. But a lot of times, that father already has a particular type of tool, or you know what I mean, of what they're going to use, especially if they work in construction. But even just stuff to do around the house, they usually have the basics. So for some folks, it's hard for them to figure out what to get them that they don't have already. I think that's one issue that most folks come across. Because ladies, I mean, you can get a lot of different things for women, but men, it is kind of hard to get something for us. Now the Fruit of the Loom thing, I mean, you know, you go to work and you got a fresh new pair of drawers on, but only you know that.
Right.
See, the best thing that a child can do for their father on Father's Day is a handmade card, whether it's written or drawing, no matter what it is, because that's going to put a smile on his face no matter what. Because they put a little bit of time into it.
A little effort, yeah.
Or just give him some peace. A lot of men want peace. A lot of men don't want to be bothered no more. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, right.
Just leave me alone. I'm not a dad, but if they was asking, you know, I know my father, hey, just leave me alone. I don't want to, he going to get his beer, let him watch his football game or whatever, and leave him alone. Watch his sports. Leave him alone. Don't ask him to go nowhere, and don't ask him for no money. Definitely don't ask him for no money, and don't ask him to buy you nothing. Just leave him alone.
Right.
Peace.
Don't ask me for no money. I can't come help you do nothing. I'm not moving no furniture, not changing no light bulbs, nothing.
No honey-do list on Father's Day. Okay. Right. It's funny when it's Father's Day and you wind up as the father barbecuing for the rest of the family.
Right. That's how it goes. So, Dad, I know it's Father's Day, but you're going to barbecue? No, it's Father's Day.
It took us 30 seconds to become a father. And it takes a mother 9 months to become a mother. That's why we still have to do stuff on Father's Day.
You'll never make up for those 9 months.
No.
That is funny, though. So tomorrow, as I said, is Father's Day, and I wish all of you who are fathers that are listening, happy Father's Day. Ladies, wives, everybody, just like Robin said, just give them some peace. Leave them alone.
Well, don't forget, you got some mothers that are also fathers on Father's Day.
So,
that's true. And vice versa.
Is it okay that some children recognize their mothers as fathers. Does that bother fathers? Because I've never heard it the other way around. I always hear, you know, because my kids wish me a happy Father's Day because I'm their only parent, basically, at least a couple of them anyway. And so does that offend y'all at all that they're trying to take that spot away from fathers by saying that?
Can I say this real quick? I know a guy I work with at Home Depot, and he still raised his two sons. And all the years I've known him, you know, he's from New York, and he moved down here some years ago and had his sons. And I have to give that brother a lot of props, you know. He raised both his sons by himself. So, you know, not jokingly, but I would say, hey, man, happy Father's Day to you, you know. And then I would say, you know, well, I guess jokingly, but I told him, no, well, you are playing both roles. He said, you got that damn right. You know, he was proud of it, you know. So, I don't know. If you have to play both ways, I think you deserve the credit for both.
Which is hard.
It is. I've heard people debate that. That's why I asked that question, because some men will be like, you can't be a father. You shouldn't be wish happy Father's Day because you can't be a father. You don't know how to. And I'm like, what? But if I'm the only parent, or if he's the only parent, then why should both roles?
Interesting. Crenshaw, you were trying to chime in. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, which is harder? Is it harder for a mother to be a father with boys and girls, or, you know, which is easier and which is harder? I would think that it would be harder for a father to try to raise a daughter than it would be for him to raise a son, but I think a mother has a natural instinct on how to raise both. So I think her job is a little bit harder.
I agree with that. Because some things really a father cannot do for a daughter that needs to be done to it. A woman would definitely have to step in.
That's an interesting question. What's your thoughts on that, Timon?
Well, also, there are things, and, you know, my mom was very important in my life, but there's a lot of things that women can't teach men. Like when you want to talk about, they can show you how to, you know, how a man should have hygiene, but they ain't not going, when it starts getting into the, like, say you want to talk about what you're feeling as a man, what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I wish that my dad would have been there, that I could have had that conversation with him. I have a mentor in my life that, you know, my mom gave me my survival skills. But when I was, you know, talking about my dreams, my goals of being a man, you know, by not having, you know, I would have loved for my dad to talk what it is to be a man, my role, my different things. My mom had to do all that stuff, you know, so it's, there's certain things a woman can teach you, but there's certain things she can't. Just like there are certain things a father could teach a daughter that probably her mother's not going to be able to teach her, you know. Whether it be fighting, you know. I don't think that they should try to give, you know, when they try to make it a competition, that's where it loses is what it is. You know, I don't believe in that. I think that, you know, if he wants to, if father raised two daughters or raised two sons, if you want to be acknowledged as the mother, fine. I get it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. I just don't think people should be getting upset. Like, you know, if you know, Cotton, you raised your children, and they say, oh, yeah, give her a Father's Day award too. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, no big deal. It's the truth. You know, I let my kids make that decision. It wasn't something that I, because when they said it, I was like, well, you know, and I tried to be diplomatic about it, but and then they broke it down. I was like, but he's not there, so why should we give him? I said, okay, you know what? I have nothing. I'm not keeping him away. I didn't keep him away. You know, so it was an uncomfortable conversation to have initially, because you don't want to take any good, decent person. You don't want to take that away from him, even if he's not there. You still want to say, hey, that's still your dad. I mean, I know he wasn't there, but, you know.
I'll give you a prime example, Cotton. I wanted to play football. My mother never came to any of my games, but she provided me with she made sure I had money for my uniform, my cleats, and everything else. My dad would come to my games, right? And he came to my games, and he heckled me while I was playing football because he was pissed because she bought me the spikes that I was playing in. So, you know, and he thought that he was doing a great thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. Even though she wasn't there, she knew that that's something I wanted to do, and she wanted to make sure I had. He came out to the game, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do, which was cheering me on or, hey, son, next time tackle this way, give me motivation. No. He turned into a comedy skit that I ended up putting in my stand-up. That's what he turned into. Hey, boy, them mothers is barbecuing. Them boys going to kick your butt for a meal. I'm going to give me some barbecue, and I'm going to watch them kick your butt. Mama bought you them $55 spikes. What for? Your brother James stole 117 bases barefooted. He didn't need no shoes. Why you need shoes, boy? I mean, that's what my dad would do. Whereas my mother was right there, and she'd say, son, how'd it go? I said, Mom, can you make sure that Daddy don't show up this week? I didn't want him there. Because, you know, and a prime example, since we were talking about Juneteenth and race and all this stuff, we played these black kids hard, Mike. We played them hard. And so when the game was over, we end up tying. And I saw the white dude with his father. He said, don't worry, Bill. Can't win them all, son. He said, right, Dad. And there my dad was, standing there, hat cocked on the side of his head. He got that Salem cigarette in his mouth with a little ash on it. Pulled out a bottle out of his back pocket, took a swig, and said, boy, you ain't shit. You tied, you tackled him, knocked over Max's drink, and then I had to share my booze with him. And don't get none of that mud in my car either. And I was like, wow.
See, there are instances where we're glad the father didn't show up. It's like,
yeah.
I try to tell people, I said, you can't say your life would have been better. You might have grown to hate your real parents. Yeah, it's a reason why they're not there, really. So,
and if it wasn't for my mother being able to give me an understanding of who my dad was,
yes,
then I would have grown to hate my father. See,
yes.
That's where moms came in. See, mom can do that. Never let you hate him. She showed you, okay, boy, he didn't come from the greatest of homes himself. You know, you got what you got. You know, and I was able to deal with it. Now I made my peace. You know, that's definitely where mothers come in.
That's where mothers come in at. You don't want your child to have that type of hatred for somebody who helped bring them into the world, even if they weren't present all the time or not able, because everybody don't have a blueprint on how to be a parent or how to be certain things if they've never seen it themselves. Sometimes you make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes cost your children or the people you love that hurt that may last forever. And in your case, you had a mom who did that, and that's what being a good mom or a good parent is about at the end of the day.
And thank God that she would put her foot down. She told my dad when we got Christmas gifts, oh, you going to put them together? You going to put them bikes together, and you going to put them things? Oh, I'm going to take this skillet and beat all the black off you. You get your ass and get them kids. And that's how you got stuff done. Mom didn't play. Oh, damn it, Rose. That's what you heard. Damn it, Rose. But she got them done. We had great Christmases.
Sure
my kids are going to have a Christmas.
Yeah, my kids are going to have a Christmas.
That's right.
Wow.
That's good parenting. That is good parenting.
Hey, real quick, let me jump in here.
That's good parenting.
Yep.
Let me jump in here real quick and just put out a reminder. Let's see, the time is now 7 o'clock as we wait on our guests to join us momentarily. Keep in mind, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMGN. You know, initially we did have our 50th show a few weeks ago, and which was going to be our final show, just letting the listeners know. But seeing we have the rest of this month to use up, that's what we're doing. Don't forget that next Saturday we have another return guest, the unbelievable, the extraordinary Mr. Cornelius Mims will be joining us. Bassist Cornelius Mims. This brother has played with everyone under the sun, and he's going to join us, and he's got some new music, which I'm not going to play this Saturday. We'll get into it next Saturday. And that show is scheduled to be on Zoom. So we'll get the information to you guys, let's see, by the midweek, so you can join us, and we'll be able to see each other through the Zoom setup next Saturday with our guest host. She's going to pretty much host the entire interview, the one and only Miss Denise L. Wilkerson, another co-host here on the TMGN Network, from the legendary Ladies of the Sky, will be conducting that interview next Saturday here on TMGN. The time is now 7:01. We're still waiting for our guests to join us in a moment. And, hey, look, if you're listening on the phone, fantastic. The number to the show is 516-531-9861. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. Now, I know not everybody likes to talk on the air and, you know, don't want to, you know, get on the mic or on the phone or this and that and the other. But if you go to the website or if you go to TMGS, you can actually join the chat room. You can post your questions or comments, and I will open up your mic, and I will read your comment over the air. So you have different options to do so. So it looks like our guest has joined us, and I think so. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Let's listen to a little bit of music, and we'll be right back and speak with our guest. Mr. St. James will be joining us in just a moment. But first, here's Who Do You Love by St. James. We'll be right back.
Please let me make a true confession. I had never been in love before, but since you came in my direction, I've had a change of heart. Them girls, they come a dime a dozen. I said them things they love to hear. I was never wanting for a lover, but I never knew what true love was indeed. So who, baby? Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure as the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you that my love is true. Who do you love?
Are you for sure?
Are you for sure?
Who do you love?
Who do you love? Let me prove my love to you. I used to be the great pretender. For the very first time I this time I'm not just out all for me. So tell
fight, willing to lose. Cause I refuse to feel stranded. Falling out with a shorty, what'll happen? So I took a glance and another chance, hoping that I find romance and the love of friends. So let's go and get a story that'll never end. And we'll be gone in the wind, so tell me, who do you love?
Who do you love? Are you for sure?
Welcome back to the TMGS on the TMGN. It's the Michael Gay Show on the Michael Gay Network. That's St. James with Who Do You Love? Oh, man. Love that track. Love that track. Oh, wow. You know what? You know, I normally have the audience here, but since the pandemic, you know, I can't have the audience here in the house or, you know, here in the studio. So let's welcome our guests. You guys put your hands together. And welcome Mr. St. James to the show. Come on, y'all. Give it up.
Hey. What's up, Mike? What's up, man?
What's up? What's up? Happy Juneteenth, my brother.
Oh, man. Blessed, man. I'm just at home just doing, trying to find a little downtime. I still got a house to maintain. So, you know, this Saturday, so I'm working on it.
I know that's right. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you for joining us again. And, wow, it's always an honor to have you here. And so, and Cotton Campbell's here. And thank you, Cotton, for bringing St. James to our attention. Just loving the music so much. And you got such great videos. I've been checking out the videos over and over again. And,
wow,
you know, you make the videos where it's not a whole lot of work, you know, to do. I mean, it's just where it's just centered on the artist, you know, not a whole lot of special effects and everything. That's what I love, the simplicity of the videos is just so great. Remind us a little more about your background, and let's get into the music more as we go. And I know Cotton has some very interesting questions for you. But let our listeners know just a little bit about St. James.
Okay, real quick, just to piggyback off of your video comment, thank you so much for the compliments and the kind words, man. A lot, we artists work out hard out here, man, and so – you know, we appreciate people that appreciate us. So with that being said, my videographer, creative visual partner, I like to call him his name, Ramon Piquero, man, he's really dope. And that's his a lot of his direction, man, making sure my videos are not so much as R&B related videos, but are visual, cinematography and visuals that reflect what I want to say in my records. That's it. So thank you so much, Ramon. I want to shout him out real quick. And with that being said, I'm originally from Chicago. I've been doing this music thing about 30-something years, man. I'm 53. I proudly say my age. I know the industry usually kind of frowns on that thing, but I'm just not into being deceptive to the people that support me, man. I keep it real, keep it very honest. So, you know, growing up in Chicago, man, I've been doing this music thing a long time independently, and right now the goal isn't a record deal anymore. It's making great records and trying to cater to the audience that love what I do. That's it.
Fantastic. And a lot of artists are independent now. It's not about the record label as much as it used to be.
Right.
Which is interesting. You know, with all the technology now, you could do it on your own. That's true. You could do it on your own. Cotton, I know you're there on the board. There was a question or a topic you wanted to ask him about. You want to go ahead?
Yeah,
hey, Mike. Hey, what's up, girl? What's up?
So, now, you know, I follow St. James. I had made my own video. Probably going to ban me pretty soon. Okay. I'm supportive. St. you did a song couldn't help but to rant and rave about that song because it was
Sorry, excuse me. Cotton, for just a second. Having a hard time understanding you. Is there any way we can, is that speakerphone?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. You did a Luther Vandross, and that song was so amazing. I was like, oh, my God. Like, if you on here, and I don't want to sound too vulgar or too anything, but panties got wet. I want to be in love with somebody, no matter who. Let me call up the old and be like, hey, can we be in love again? That was that music. That was that.
Wow.
Like, everybody can't do remake something. Sometimes you make, somebody remakes something, you're like, yeah, I ain't really feeling that. But this, everything that you've done has been that. But that song in particular just blew me out the water. Like, it's now. I'm waiting for it to come out so it can be my favorite.
That's what's up. Oh, you're talking about There's Nothing Better Than Love, Luther Vandross and Gregory Hines. They're both, rest in peace, both of them brothers. Amazing talents in their own rights, man. And I always loved that record when I was younger, man. I'm excited about it being a part of the volume, Throwback to Covers Volume 2 EP coming out maybe this fall. So with that being said, yeah, I got the great Jay Chosen. He's a young artist. He was on appeared on The Voice, man. He was, I think, Gwen Stefani was his coach. Done some lot of great things. Young dude in his 30s, really great, man, talented. I'm excited about working with him and him being a part of my team and what we're doing at Household Name Entertainment. So, yeah, that song is about to be crazy. So I was in the studio yesterday at 111 degrees and the AC was out, and I was in the booth working on my part of that record. That's how much I'm serious about it. It's got to be right.
There's Nothing Better Than Love. That was Luther and, well, the late Luther Vandross and also the late Gregory Hines.
Right. That's what I said. Yep, exactly.
And I didn't know that Gregory could really sing until that came out.
Oh, Gregory's voice is beautiful as butter on that mug, for real.
Right. I was not aware that he could sing. Now, also, you did a remake of a great classic by Mr. Alexander O'Neill.
Yeah, if you were here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, man, I love that record. And I paid, even in my video, I made sure I shouted out my man Alexander in the back, saying homage to the great Alexander O'Neill. I mean, I'm not doing these records to try to outshine these artists or anything. It's anything to pay homage to their lost legacies, man. A lot of times we didn't forget about a lot of our throwback R&B artists who really paved the way for the day to even be relevant. Come on, man.
Correct. Right.
But
why don't we do this?
You do it so well and so tastefully. I think that's what it is. You do it so well and so tastefully that people can't but respect how you put it out there. Because now we're getting that feel of what R&B is again, and it's like, and what love is again, and it's like, okay, I see you, Frank. You got the women asking me, is he single? Hey, I'm getting people this.
You don't get my business. Mind your business. Keep it about the music.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's get into that track right about now. Let's check out St. James with If You Were Here Tonight, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it. And also, we're going to get into, we got plenty of tracks. We've got Baby Come to Me coming up. A-W-L, Absent Without Love. Love that title. And you guys that are listening in, make sure you keep it right here. We got more music coming. Our guest today is Mr. St. James, and here is If You Were Here Tonight. We'll be right back.
As the night moves in, love takes on a whole new meaning. Yes, it does, baby. If you were here, then you would know just what I mean to say. The circumstance leaves me only waiting. I'm waiting.
cannot pretend. No, I can't, baby.
I just can't.
This bed's too big for me to be in it all alone. All alone. Slow burn, yeah. Light a candle for our love. Our love.
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. That's St. James with If You Were Here Tonight. You know, man, I love the arrangement. I truly love what you did with that, with the vocal arrangements. It's different, you know, and it's not taking anything away from the original. I really like the fact that it enhances it. I like the way you did the harmonies in parts of the original didn't have. And it just gives it a fresh sound, you know what I mean? It's just a really a fresh sound. So
that's so much,
I really enjoyed that. Let me go around the board and get some response real quick. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I love it. I'm probably going to kill my head, but I'm going to make the double cassette and I'm going to play it back to back. Get Crenshaw in that. I love it.
I said cassette.
Okay. And I know Cotton, I know you got a good response, of course. Go ahead and let us know.
Yeah, I mean, you already know. I'm Team St. James all day. I love how he put that together. You know, like I said, everything for me, I'm the love guru later. I want to just be in love with somebody. So I'm going to start playing that. And eventually somebody going to pick up that I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, but I love this thing. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. It's awesome.
All right. I see I have some people here on the board that are listening in, so I just want to let the folks know real quick that are listening in. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, go ahead and hit the number one, and I'll see that you're waving your hand. And you can ask any questions or comments within reason now. Don't get into this personal life. We already got that. We already made that clear.
Right. Exactly.
Stick to the music, okay? Let's get to the music. Mind your business, right? But let me ask you this. What is the process? What is it that has you, or what makes you, how should I put this? How do you decide what songs you want to do the remakes of as you give this homage to these artists? What's the process where you just say, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to do that and do that. Is there some kind of process that you go through? Because there's so many songs I know that you could have done, and maybe some
right.
didn't make the cut that you probably wanted to do. How does that process
right.
go about for you?
Well, honestly, I listen to a lot of different music. In order to really make good music, you have to be eclectic in your taste. So I try to study different genres and see what they're doing and whatever. But most importantly, if the record feels good to me and I remember it, I was like, wow, that's how and I start just hearing how my interpretation would be. Then the next step is I go on YouTube and I see who's covered it prior to me into it. That way I ain't trying to, like, I'm not trying to sing if Avant did any of these records, St. James wouldn't have been doing none of them, I'm telling you right now. You know what I'm saying? Or Kells or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to stay in your lane, you just got to be true to yourself, but ultimately do your research, man, because I'm not putting that record out. If anybody else cut that Alexander O'Neill record before me that had a famous name or really was a great singer or something, I'm just not going there. They already did it.
Right.
And it's only so many times you can do a record before people are like, oh, it's already been done. Sit down. You know, people don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. Well, because, you know, like I forgot how many, I lost count of remakes of Heard It Through the Grapevine, what was done.
Right.
So, you know, when you think about that.
Right.
But, you know, right. most of them were hit artists, of course. You know, you look at Gladys Knight. You look at, you know, even Roger and Zapp, you know, though they put a different spin on it, you know, but there's
right.
so many versions of it. But like you said, you know, you got to stay in your lane, though. I got another
yes,
person waving their hand here. I want to go ahead and open up their mic. Coming from the West Coast, let me open up their mic and let's see. I believe that's Andrea James. How you doing, Andrea? Happy Saturday.
Happy
June.
Happy Juneteenth, my friends and my people. Oh, my God. Today I'm coming to you from our state capital, which is Sacramento, California.
Mm. Okay.
I'm celebrating Juneteenth,
hey.
And I'm also celebrating Happy Father's Day with my my family. I meet my nephew for my very first time, and it's just
nice.
Like a real family reunion, and I'm just so happy. So while I'm sitting here making my homemade potato salad and baked bean recipe to add to what we're grilling right outside in this 100-degree heat out here on the West Coast. And I was Michael always has a fabulous guest on. So I looked at my watch. I said, do I have time to chime in and listen? And so I'm always thankful that Michael always brings them. Each and every week, Michael, the guest is better than the week before. Even to this young man that was, I heard on Michael's show recently, he's up here in Sacktown, they call it. I'm going to see if I can hook up with him because I want to hear his music on the radio on the West Coast because he's already here. And the way his music sounded, it's just like he's already there. So, Michael, keep
right.
doing what you're doing. I tell this young man, I don't know who, one of your cocoa brought him on and one of your guests, but your co-hosts are slamming as well. Happy Mother's Day and Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth to everybody that's listening to the Michael Gay Show and to your fabulous team. And thank you for taking my call. And as we are making history, let's continue to do that and not forget where we
that's
come
right.
from, but also remember where we're going. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Love you dearly. And with that temperature up there, you may not have to put it on the grill. You could just pretty much just set it and give it on the sidewalk, you know, and just flip it over every 15 minutes, and you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Right. Well, I'll let it do it on the grill. It takes a little more sanitary.
Okay. Yeah. It is hot on the West Coast. That's for sure.
One up for everybody on the West Coast, and then one up in the air for Juneteenth celebration
okay.
time from here on.
Okay,
thank you,
fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay,
thank you,
so, yes, thank you. And like I said, that's Andrea James. She broadcasts on Tuesdays. Today's Entrepreneur, you can check her out. I'm going to go ahead and pop that up on the Facebook page and Yeah, you'll be able to check her out on Tuesdays at, I believe it's 11 a.m.
I'm on Instagram. It's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday. And the show is called Tea Tuesday. Got my nephew standing right here and in his booth. This is my friend Michael Gay, broadcasting live from Atlanta right now. So we're outside, and they listen to the show. So we're celebrating from California to Atlanta and all around the globe. Continue to do what you do, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We're definitely going to keep it rolling. Thank you again. Okay, so St. James.
yes, sir.
Yes.
How do you feel about the pandemic?
I'm sorry. Go ahead and say it again.
No, I was just saying that. That's all good. She was right. You know, Juneteenth and celebrate. All that's important. So I appreciate that. That was cool. All good.
Definitely. This is a big weekend. Definitely is. And tomorrow's Father's Day. Speaking of that, I'm going to ask you another question in a moment. But now that the pandemic is somewhat slowing down, it's not gone. A lot of people think it is, but now that you know, the vaccinations are going out and people, you know, cities and everything are opening up, what's it like where you are as far as that goes? And I know you're excited and looking forward to actually get out and perform sometime soon. Yeah. Is there anything coming up soon for you to be seen live at a venue?
You know what? I'm particular, and I'm just really about being polished whatever I do. I'm in recorded mode, so my mindset is I gotta get into live performance mode. See, the people think singers can just automatically turn it on and off at times, and you have to work at being a live performer as much. And don't get it twisted. I can sing live. The problem is I'm perfectionist. I want a good show, I want a band, I want singers, I want promotion, and I want rehearsals. So that stuff takes structure. Like, I just can't go from singing these songs during the pandemic to jumping on the stage and it be polished. It's got to be right. So I probably won't be doing a live performance until I get my whole show together. I'm serious about it because I'm trying to get out there and do it for real. This ain't no game to me. So that's the only thing that I'm focused on is when – because people are already trying to book me now. I got to put together a lot of documentation stuff. It's just a business process and things I got to do because I've been in recording mode and we've been in a pandemic. A lot of people just ain't prepared right now and they have to get prepared. So people got to slow down and let's be honest, you're not going to fill these places up to capacity like you used to anyway to try to, you know, do these shows. So people got to slow down, relax, and let things gradually build back up to the fever pitch that it was prior to the pandemic. And so I'm just kind of being patient in my head, taking it one day at a time and trying to organize what I got to do so that I can give the people the best show possible. I'm not trying to give them nothing, no crappy track date. No, not interested. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, so I got a text from a listener, Charlene in California, texted me, and she asked, do you write any of your own music? Which, yes, he does, and we're going to play some of that shortly. We're going to also play Being Gentle, that's coming up next. But here's a funny question she asked. Do you sing in the shower?
Yes. Absolutely. Everybody gets their best vocal performances in the shower because you got the hot water cleaning out your nasal cavity, so you can hit notes in the shower. You can't hit out the shower. It's crazy, but I love to get in the shower and sing while I'm hot water. You know, saying I got a hot tub that I singing when I'm sitting in the back of that too, so same thing.
Okay. Also, she asked another question: do you have a hobby outside of music? Is there anything else that you do?
You know what? I used to love to detail cars. Like, I used to love to see a car go from dirty to real, really immaculate. So, but I don't have no time for that hobby anymore. But ultimately, I just like to. I relax and watch. You know, I don't watch TV much, but I sit in my hot tub and decompress from this music industry requires 24/7 commitment and dedication. If you really, because I'm doing not only singing, I'm a producer. I write. I run my own label, a production company, a radio station, a distribution. I do it all.
Okay.
I'm wearing many.
Charlene is.
Charlene is blowing up my phone with questions. Okay, Charlene, go ahead and just write a book of questions. All right, so let me try to put all these last three questions here because we're going to get back into the music.
Okay.
She asked, no, don't be sorry, Charlene. I appreciate you asking. Let's see. She asked, who do you admire, your favorite artist, and who would you like to collaborate with?
Okay. Who do I admire? I admire a lot of people in the health industry right now, currently, and it's kind of a combination. I admire the people that are brave, the healthcare industry. I'm not talking about the people in administrative that in the pharmaceutical companies. I'm specifically talking about those people that own the ground, boots on the ground, the nurses, doctors, everybody, techs, everybody working in hospitals and clinics. Man, this pandemic is crazy. And so they brave these situations. Some of them passed away from the pandemic. And also our senior citizens that are braving getting older. It's not easy getting old in America these days. It's just I don't like what I'm seeing, how people are treating our seniors that sacrificed and paved the way. Many of them fought wars and stuff, man, and they're sitting here struggling and not getting the love and respect. So I admire our seniors, and I admire healthcare professionals. That's my start. My favorite art, what did you ask, Mike, who I want to collaborate with, Alicia Keys or Mary J. Blige? I think it was the third.
Two good choices.
Third. Thank you.
Right, two great choices. Wow. Oh, you said a third one?
I think you had a third question. You said it was three of them?
Oh, yeah. That was it. You pretty much hit all three of them. It was who do you admire? Who is your favorite artist?
Oh, okay.
Did you get your favorite artist one?
I didn't get my favorite artist. Well, my favorite artist isn't actually an artist. It's a producer, and that's Quincy Jones.
Hello.
Come on,
hello.
Man.
The legendary. I think he has more Grammys than anyone on earth. Yeah, I think he has more Grammys. Yeah, than anyone on earth right now.
So
I'm going to play this next track. Which you feature a certain young lady, in fact, Being Gentle. Tell us about that song, how you came about doing that song, and about the young lady who is featured singing along with you. And, of course, you guys, the video is available on YouTube. So go ahead and tell us about this while we get ready to crank it up.
Okay, anybody that knows anything about this particular record knows that Frederick and Janice did the original version called Gentle, Calling Your Name. Classic R&B record, man. And I was a young whippersnapper back in the day when I first fell in love with this record. So I knew I wanted to try my stab at it at one point or another. And so I did. Thankfully, I got the rights to get carte blanche rights to do whatever I wanted to do in terms of the remix. A lot of times when you take these records and try to remake them, you got to get licensing or derivative clearances to like if you change the lyrics or anything, you can't just do that. You have to get permission. So I was able to take this record and really reimagine it my way with no problem. And once I finished it, the guy actually ended up giving me 50% publishing rights to my version of the song. So I own half of the record, which is unheard of in the music industry. Crazy. So that's what happened with the record. And I loved this record since I was a kid. And I think people have gotten away from the concept of gentleness. Gentleness don't mean softness. It means how you treat one another with respect, delicacy. And when you're intimate, that's the most important time to show that kind of respect to people. And in music, we're not talking about those kind of relationships. Everybody's hurt and going through so many changes and pain, painful expression. That's okay to some degree. But getting back to the basics of even if you don't believe in it, the hope of it possibly happening for you is something that these type of records used to evoke in us. And so I just want to bring that back. So with this song, and Sine Goss is a lovely duet partner. She's a phenomenal singer, actress, and model, and just came in and knocked it out in 4 hours, man, just an unbelievable talent. And the song went to number one on the Indie Soul charts. I won the Best New Indie Soul Artist because of the record. We're over 1.3 million streams and counting, and the record is still picking up momentum. We haven't even hit the mainstream Billboard with this record yet, and it still can possibly get there. So thanks again for playing the record, Michael.
All right. And without further ado, here is St. James and Sine with Being Gentle. We'll be right back.
Girl, I understand that your body needs attention and I don't wanna take away from your body's perfection by being too rough. It's not enough to just be gentle, so don't wanna make it hard, cause it's all way too simple. So don't you ever stop being in my world.
I don't ever wanna stop loving you, boy. So don't you ever stop giving me joy.
I'll be gentle.
Please be very gentle.
When I'm loving you. When I'm loving you.
Another heart that needs to share. Baby, come to me. keep you talking on the line. That's how it was.
Yeah, listen.
And all those walks together, out in any kind of weather, just because.
Yeah.
There's a brand new way of looking at your life, when you know that love is standing by your side.
Baby, come.
Baby, come to me.
Band Climax, and you're listening to the Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the TMGS. That St. James featuring Sine. You know, I had to say that. You know, KGLA used to always do the Aces back to back. Aces Wild, and then I used to love it when they said a whole deck. I was like, man, I love that. Yeah, Aces back to back. Yeah, good. Definitely. And going back to the Quincy Jones thing, you know, there it is, mm-hmm. right there. That was produced by, yep, another one done by the great, the genius Quincy. Got another question from the texter here, Charlene. She wants to know what platforms, where can she get the music from? You want to give that information out for us, please?
Okay. All digital platforms, whatever your favorite is, particularly, just go there and search St. James, S-A-I-N-T-J-A-I-M-Z, and my whole catalog of records to date will show up. I have some original stuff on there as well, 5 original records and 6 cover records for the EP, go back to covers. You can find it all on all digital streaming platforms. Also, you can go to my official website, stjames.com, and I have a little more different things on there. I'm developing and building that as well, so you know, a lot of this stuff happened so quick. I've just really been trying to catch up to a lot of the stuff that's been positively happening to me since I put the general record out. So stay tuned for great music coming and other artists off of my label.
Fantastic. And, yeah, I've been checking it out now. It's also another artist that you're working with that I had a chance to check out on YouTube. Good music, man. And speaking of original, I don't want us to run out of time. We got about 14 minutes left. And I know for sure that Cotton's waiting for this song. AWL. Tell us the backstory on that one there, and we'll get right into it before we run out of time. Give us a, because most folks look at it as absence without leave, okay, which is a military term, but you took that leave out and put love. Give us a little backstory there.
Yes, sir. Oh, thank you, man. That song is, you know, you don't get to be 50 years old and half a century old and having experienced some stuff with love and life and experiences. So, you know, I'm a 16-year military veteran, so definitely AWOL resonated with me with that part. But I also understood that you can be in a relationship, in a marriage, live with someone, and can be absent even though you're physically there and love is gone. So that was the concept. So, and it's okay that when people evolve into that place where they're no longer is not working, you have to know when the expiration date has come and try to find an amicable way to move on with your life. And it's okay. People ain't going to stay together forever. We have to just lose that narrative. I wanted to convey that in a song to say that it's okay that it's time to move on. And how you go about it is just as important as how you started it. How you go about ending it is just as important as how you began it. So that's what the song's all about.
All right, then. Well, let's get right into it. Here's St. James with AWL, Absent Without Love. We'll be right back.
Is that one right here?
You know what? I'm actually tired of this love cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
First we argue, then we cool. It's crazy. To be real with you, baby, just don't want to do it anymore. My love is gone. What you want, but I may walk, yeah.
Girl, you wondering how you can get me back, baby, cause I've been gone too long, and it's driving you crazy. Oh, how you will miss my love, honey. Why did I leave? You knew I had to go. I see you think it's fun.
Gonna
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL Atlanta, Georgia. That was St. James with AWOL, and I didn't put in the O, but the first time, but it's AWOL, Absent Without Love. Man, I love that track. I really like that. That is really sweet.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Great concept. Great concept. I'm looking at the board, and I see a 916 number on the board. 916, if you got a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number 1. We're running low on time now. The time is now 7:53, so we got 7 more minutes. So 916-230. If you got a question or comment, please go ahead and hit the number 1 now. And in the meantime, let me go ahead and go around the board. Any final thoughts from my co-host? I'm going to go ahead and get Officer Crenshaw to go ahead and comment, and then I'm going to let Cotton Campbell. Thank you, Cotton, so much for bringing some great people here. St. James, thank you so much. But go ahead, Officer Crenshaw, your final questions or comments, and then I'm going to go ahead and let Cotton take out on this.
First, as a veteran, I want to tell him thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you,
and,
sir.
After that, I want to say damn. I mean, Cotton was right. Cotton was absolutely right, because my Father's Day is coming early. My drawers are wet. Damn.
That's what's up. I never heard it put so. I never heard it so put so eloquently. But thank you, sir.
Wow.
Wow. That's what's up. I'm glad my music does it, though. That's what's up, for real. That's crazy. Thank you, sir, for sharing that.
It's making me, I'm going in there to my wife and say, all right, come on. I'm ready.
What's up?
Oh, wow.
I bet you didn't expect to hear that, did you, Mike?
After that, huh?
Nope.
Wow, heard it all.
This is what we do every Saturday, man, it seems. But Cotton, go ahead. Man. Your final comment.
Man, I don't even know.
Who, me?
Cotton.
Go ahead, Cotton.
I want to say in all sincerity that I absolutely love St. James' music and what he put out there, and I always be a supporter of what it is that you do. I might be a little over the top, and people may think that I'm not sincere. I'm very sincere in when I support people and what it is that they do, and there's nothing that would stop me from supporting somebody as great as you are and what you bring to this table and what you're bringing to the music industry at the end of the day. And I'm just thankful that I've continued to follow you over the years, even if you didn't know I was following you, I was following you know, everything that you've done. And that's thanks to Kaleo, because Kaleo actually introduced me to St. James' music and his sound and everything that he's doing. So with that being said, I have one other question. I hope we have time for Saint to answer, and that is, I've heard you on other radio shows and other platforms, and you were speaking about today's R&B versus what it was back then. And I just kind of wanted you to tell the TMGS how you feel about that, because you said some really interesting things on other platforms that I thought we needed to hear on this platform.
For the sake of time, just mostly just that a lot of the younger sounding records, those artists were like, that generation was missing about 15 to 20 years of music theory and foundational music when they took all the music programs out to school. So they didn't learn how to take their time making these records. They process them real quick, do a loop, a beat, put some verse lyrics on it, and put it out. And sometimes it's successful, and sometimes it's not. But most of the time, I can't tell you what the hit record was from 5 years ago with this newer stuff. No disrespect to those kids. It's just a theory. They lack the foundation that we learned. So, but I can tell you that the Temptations, My Girl, was the number one record in 1968, though. Why is that? Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I love how he put that, because when he said they missing the foundation, it's so true. it's so true. But that's thank you.
Yes, ma'am. No problem.
Time is still with us.
Hello? Michael?
You there?
Did Michael drop off?
He might have dropped off. Is time is still on?
I'm still on. Yeah.
You got a question?
Well,
go ahead.
We lost Michael.
Hey, it's all good. I think we summed it all up. Thank you, Michael.
we did. Saint, I just want to, again, thank you for coming on, and thank you for the music that you're putting out. I'm not sure where Michael went through, but I know that you have. I don't know if you want to tell everybody where to get your new music from, if you didn't already say that, and how to stream it, and what you have coming up next.
Yeah, just everything. Yeah, I got a lot of new projects coming out. My pops, I got Kaleo Ross's project. I'm working with Jay Chosen from The Voice. You know, just a lot of good stuff coming up, and including my own independent project. The cover song thing has been really great to me. So I got a volume 2 to accompany a volume 1, but much later in the year. But I got to put out my original stuff now and let people hear what my original stuff sounds like, so I can, you know, get known for that as well. Because people are they're calling me the cover song king or the remake king and all that, which is cool. I mean, I'd rather be called something positive than negative.
Yeah,
right,
that's
right.
Definitely a compliment.
And you know what?
For sure.
We're hitting at the top of the hour. We run out of time, guys. And quickly, I want to say that Charlene has said that She was swaying to the gym with a glass of wine. And again, she says, thank you for being a part of bringing R&B back. So thank you, Charlene.
Tell her I said thank you so much. Thanks, Charlene. Appreciate
it. Again, let us know how to get the music. And the title of the new LP is? Soon to be released.
Throwback to Covers Volume 1.
All right. And available on basically
every digital platform,
everywhere.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
Fantastic.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Cotton. Thanks, Ms. Crenshaw, everybody. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you guys, that's going to do it for us. Have a great remainder of the June 10th. And tomorrow,
Happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Right, and make sure you tune in next Saturday. Our special guest will be Mr. Cornelius Mims with our host, Ms. Denise L. Wilkinson of the legendary Ladies of the Sky will be joining us. That's going to do it for us today. Yes, take care. Have a blessed rest of the weekend. Good night, all.
Hey. Bye. Bye, everybody. Good night. Good afternoon. Good evening.